Hello, and thank you so much for tuning in to Stable Connections, the podcast. Today's episode is with Shannon Leveroni, and she chats with us about her experience with burnout, losing her house in the 2017 fires and evacuating multiple times, and the body work she offers, including AcuScope and MyoPulse. Hope you enjoy. Stable Connections is sponsored by Change Your Lead. Change Your Lead is made up of a group of licensed clinicians and equine professionals who incorporate horses into mental health treatment and wellness offerings. They currently provide adjunct psychotherapy services to agencies in the Greater Bay Area that want to add an equine component to their existing mental health services. In addition, they facilitate workshops and mini wellness retreats for those looking to take time for themselves in the presence of horses. Please visit changeyourlead.com to learn more. Stable Connections is sponsored by The Equine Creative. The Equine Creative is a full-service graphic design company specializing in logos and branding for equestrian entrepreneurs. With illustrations that honor your heart, your horse, and your hustle, let's outfit your business the way you'd outfit your horse. Please visit www.theequinecreative.com to learn more.
So my father's side lives in Novato. My mother's side lives in Santa Rosa. They got divorced when I was very young, and so I spent time between each. And then when I was 8, I started riding in Petaluma with Heidi Thompson, mainly Western. I did a little bit of dabbling in English, but that was not really my passion. When I was riding, I mean, it was always just something fun, and I don't know. I guess I didn't have many friends, so I rode. And I made some friends at the barn, and then when I got old enough to start working, I decided I didn't really care for anything else and decided I was going to do horse training.
So when did you start doing that?
I think my first training job, well, I kind of like helped out with horses over at Heidi Thompson's, and then after Heidi's, when I was about 18, I started at SRJC and worked at the JC
riding
farm.
School.
Yeah, Shone Farm, rode the class horses and stuff to keep them in shape or tuned up and whatnot. And then after that was a loper for Brandis Langston. And then he ended up leaving and the other loper there left and I ended up getting offered a position. And that's my first like technical training job that I had was starting horses for them. And then I became the resident trainer. They were a cutting horse barn. So that was a really fun experience. I got to go ride with Steve Schlesinger a little bit. And he helped me teach me how to start horses on cows and stuff. And then from there, I think I started my own training.
Cool. And what was kind of the hardest part about all of that?
At that point in my life, I had a lot going on. So I got burnt out pretty quick. Man, there was a lot of horses. I think I was riding at least 14 horses a day. So I just got burnt out. And so I ended up stopping horses for a little while. And I went to go get an office job. Realized I hated that.
How long did it take you before the burnout happened? And do you remember the exact moment you like knew and decided?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think I worked there maybe a little over a year or something. I just got so burnt out that, I mean, there was a lot going on, like, at home and then at the ranch as well. There was someone that was not particularly easy to get along with. So I remember this one person was not making my life very easy, so I just went in and I actually had my horses on the property and I went in that day and I told the owner that I was leaving with my horses the next day.
It just got that bad.
Yeah. I couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah. And so you left. Did you still have horses when you got that office job? You just were going to work outside of horses?
I think I had 3 horses at that time. And I think we had a place for me to take my horses, like, on our property. And then shortly after, we lost that property. And I ended up moving my horses down to Heidi Thompson's. And so Heidi Thompson used my mare in lessons because she's a really good lesson horse. And then the other two just kind of hung out.
So you got this office job, and how soon after the office job did you realize that that wasn't for you?
I think I was only there like a month.
Okay. And what was it about it that wasn't for you?
I was so bored that I, like, practically fell asleep in my little cubicle because it was just data entry. So I was literally falling asleep.
And so what was your next step?
I think after that, I ended up getting a job. I don't even remember what it was called, but it was at some dog kennel. So I tried that for a little bit. And yeah, then the gal who owned the dog kennel wanted me to work the office. And then from the office, she wanted me to learn how to do dog grooming and do all that, which sounded good. And so I was like, okay, that sounds fair. You know, I'll try it. And I think I was in the office job 2 weeks. And I was like, nope, this isn't for me either.
Yeah. Well, it's good that you're trying these things and then recognizing that it's not for you. I think that that's a huge part of late teens, early 20s, or even 30s for some people, to just like try it and then recognize. And it seems like you learn pretty quickly, like what works for you and what doesn't.
Yeah, I think after the dog job, I went and so I was with Heidi Thompson again.
Ah.
So funny.
Savior.
She really is. So Heidi, funny story about that. My parents had their horses in training with Heidi Thompson way back when. Heidi introduced my parents.
Oh, wow.
So it's her fault I'm here.
Yeah, she literally is the reason you're alive.
Yes. So she's like my second mother, and so she's been there for me for everything. So yeah, so I was actually with her after the dog job, and I went with her to go get hay from Jody Richardson. And so we pull up to Jody's and we're driving through and talking, and I don't really know how it came up, but I was like, wow, I didn't know that Jody had this place, because I'd met Jody, but I didn't realize she had a property. And so Heidi called Jody and she's like, hey, do you have a trainer out here? So I got my first training horse out at Jody's. She had a draft horse that wasn't started, I think. And so I started her draft horse, and then after I started that one, I started her other draft horse, and then it just kind of built from there.
And did you feel like you were ready to take that on again?
Yeah. At that point, after those two failed job attempts, I was like, okay.
And you're doing it slowly. You're doing it one at a time, yes. Two at a time.
Exactly.
And what's Jody's place called?
Stable Acres.
Stable Acres.
So the property is Stable Acres, the boarding facility and everything. And then she actually now has the Farm Tours, which is American-made miniatures sanctuary.
Okay, cool. Did you end up like essentially starting a business in terms of business-wise, or were you just starting it, kind of figuring it out?
Yeah, I was just kind of figuring it out and seeing what happened as I went. So, I don't know, 6 months to a year, I was just kind of like dabbling in it, seeing what I could do, kind of taking things as I went, and got like quite a few horses in training and got some lessons and stuff. And then I don't know why I had decided, but I found Jenny Sherbo somehow online, and Jenny Sherbo's over in Acampo, and she's got an internship program. And so I found her online and I applied to it, just see what happens, and I actually got a call to go do the internship.
And what's the point of the internship, or like what's her program about?
So she is a performance horse trainer, and at that time she had barrel horses, reining horses, and cutting horses. So she was just starting her program when I went. So I think I was one of the first people, and she had just bought the Sliding J Ranch in Acampo. So it was a really neat experience, and it's actually how I met one of my really good friends, Erin. And Erin lives in Australia. Hmm. So she had come for this internship, and we lived together in a fifth wheel.
Oh, wow. You just met someone, and then you're living in a fifth wheel, yes, with them?
Yep.
And what about the program did you like while you were there? And how long was it?
It was a minimum of 3 months. I think it was like a minimum of three, maximum a year. I did the 3 months. So I did January to April. Let's see, when I was there, so she starts you with all the broke horses until she knows, like,
what you're capable of.
Yeah, and she had some colts that she was just starting, and I just asked if I could go watch her and a couple of the, like, more experienced girls that were there. And so while I was watching, she noticed that I was, like, really taking interest in it, and so she asked me if I wanted to help her start the colts. And so, of course, I said yes.
Is it like you to say yes when opportunities are presented?
I try. I definitely realized that I was very timid for a very long period of my life.
Well, it sounds like you were potentially more of an introvert, and that's why you didn't have friends growing up and turned to the horses. Do you feel like you're still an introvert?
Oh, for sure.
Really? Okay.
I definitely feel like I have a little bit more of a voice now. I don't know. I feel a little stronger in my opinions, I guess. But I definitely was way more timid back then. But I did have some really cool opportunities. And I something that I always think is I try to live by is Wylene Wilson. I remember she always said, she's like, if it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no. And so, like, I try to live by that. And, like, if it sounds interesting, then I try to go with it. Yeah, it was really cool. Jenny gave me the opportunity to work colts with her and stuff. And it was really fun. I got opportunities to do some of the things that some of the other girls didn't.
Why do you think that was?
I think because I showed a little more interest and
dedication.
I was just really trying. I feel like I did more than asked, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I remember when I was growing up, like, if someone told us to do something, I would make sure, like, I'd do that, and plus a little bit. My dad always told me growing up, he's like, leave a job better than you found it. So I try to live by that.
I think that's a great way to be. And so going into that experience with Jenny, did you plan on getting the internship, coming back, and continuing your program?
Yeah. So when I came back from Jenny's, I went straight back to Jody's, and just got rolling with that again, and I don't really remember, but I think, like, it just picked right back up where I left it, you know? Because when I was at Jenny's, because it wasn't a paid internship.
Right.
So it wasn't long into Jenny's, I realized I needed to keep making money.
Right, that is a thing that we have to do to be able to eat and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was driving home on the weekends to work. So while I was working at Jenny's, I was coming home on the weekends to work and then going back. So that's why when I came back, I was able to just pick back up.
Okay, and how long was that drive?
2 hours.
2 hours, so doable.
Yeah, definitely. It wasn't terrible.
Doable. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so... finished the program. What was it like finishing?
It was really fun. I mean, I learned so much there and made a lot of really good friends. That was definitely life-changing. And, like, just the people that you get to meet and, like, being able to meet my friend Erin, who's in Australia, and then going to Australia and seeing all the horse stuff out there was so much fun. Not just the training itself, but the people you get to meet. It was amazing.
Yeah, I think that's part of the certifications and the different things that everyone kind of dabbles in. Part of it is who you're doing it with and, like, the connections that we make within that, too.
Yeah.
And so you started doing your business again, picking up. What came next?
I think after that, I was just doing the training and lessons.
Did you have, like, a cap? You were like, okay, I'm not going to do more than 10 horses. I'm not going to, you know.
No, I went hardcore again.
You went hardcore again. Okay.
So.
And were you doing mostly, like, people and their horses, just horses, all of the above?
I had some horses that I was just taking in to start. I had some that the people were working with. I had some that I was just doing lessons. I had a lesson string at the time. I had my mare, I had my mom's gelding, I used a couple of my clients' horses, and then some of Jody's horses. So I had, like, a pretty good lesson string that I was giving lessons from kids to adults, teaching people how to ride their own horses.
Saying just, yes, like, to everything.
Yeah, yeah. And then after that, I don't know how I got hooked back into it, but I had my training business, and then somehow I got hooked back into Wagon Wheel.
Oh, in the middle of you growing yours. Okay.
So I don't know at what time it was. I assume it was probably during the winter because they have a covered arena. And so I think I had made a deal with them that I'd work their horses if I could come do lessons up there and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that is a good perk of that. But do you feel like in that moment you completely forgot about that burnout feeling?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, did you get there again?
Kind of, yes.
Almost?
I mean, I ended up leaving Wagon Wheel again.
Okay. And was there, like, any sort of toss-up of, like, am I going to leave Wagon Wheel or my own program? Or you knew?
Yeah, I had those thoughts. But I think once I left Wagon Wheel, it was definitely easier. I think everyone feels it where, like, if there is some sort of negative talk or anything, then it just kind of makes you, like...
Close up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it comes in waves.
Still?
It's been a good wave for a long while, but, you know, like, when you're just trying to figure things out, like, mana goes in waves.
Yeah, definitely. And how do you feel, aside from leaving Wagon Wheel and like kind of taking yourself out of the thing that's causing the burnout, how do you deal with burnout?
Stop doing as much.
Okay.
Which is probably what I should do from the start, but...
No, I think sometimes we have to experience it to know.
Yeah.
Do you feel like this second time... How long ago was that second time?
Like 2017.
Okay.
Because it was right before the fires. So I was working in Petaluma at Stable Acres, doing my own thing, up at Wagon Wheel, working their horses and having some lessons and training horses up there. So, again, I was up at, like, 14 to 16 horses a day.
And you didn't hire an assistant, nothing?
Every once in a while, I'd have someone, like, over at Jody's, her kid would always come help me.
Okay.
Which was great, because Kelly is a heck of a rider. And so, I think that was the only time I ever really had any help was when she came out and helped. Well, actually... On my birthday, my mom and my sister would help me ride training horses.
Well, that's a nice little birthday treat of, oh, you only have to ride 10 today.
Yep.
Did the business side of things come easy to you?
I mean, obviously there's definitely learning curves, but I always felt like it was pretty good, and I've always had, like, really good clients that have helped me along the way, so.
Yeah, or understood when you had a fumble.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, with scheduling, sure. Or with, yeah, all of that, yes. Kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah,
scheduling was definitely hard in the very beginning, but I figured it out.
So then what came next within your trajectory? You said the fires is when Wagon Wheel stopped. And
yeah,
you...
So I had training horses and stuff at Wagon Wheel, and I lived, again, like 5 minutes from Wagon Wheel, but like at a different house that time. I remember when the fires came, so the fire took my house out.
And so, the house you were living in.
Yeah. So Wagon Wheel was only like 5 minutes away from us. So when our neighbor woke us up, I knew quite a few people in the area. So obviously, like, we were trying to wake everyone up that we knew to get out.
This is Coffee Park Fire. Yep. That happened, if people don't know, middle of the night, right? And
yes.
It like was super windy that night and was taking out like the whole community.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had chills on my body right now.
Yeah. So at 1 o'clock... my neighbor woke us up, and like I don't know if we would have gotten out if she didn't wake us up. So she came and knocked on the door. She's like, you got to get out of here, fire just jumped the freeway. When we got outside, it was crazy outside. Like, you couldn't see anything, and I couldn't tell where it was coming from. I thought it was coming from Wagon Wheel's way, but it was from the opposite direction. And so I was freaking out because I had training horses over there. They're the couple that owns it is older, like,
oh,
I think
no.
At that point they're in their 80s.
Yeah.
So, like, I was like, crap. And they had, like, 30 horses at that time. So I was like, shit.
Well, and I feel like in 2017, before that specific fire, people didn't think about evacuating like they do now. And I don't know necessarily what changed, and we don't need to get into that. But, like, I just feel like now there's at least trailers set up. There's evacuation teams, and maybe
yes.
they were there then, but like, yeah,
there definitely wasn't like there wasn't cart and all that stuff at that point. Yeah.
So then what was your like step number one?
So my trailer was in Petaluma with my horses. So again, I didn't know where the fire was. I did not realize where it was. So I drove towards Hopper where the fire was because I had a friend that lived over there and I wanted to make sure they got out with their dog. So like, I was driving towards the fire without realizing it. I got to my friend's house. Thankfully, they were gone. But at that point, the fire's like right over their house. Like, we're right by the fire. And I was like, shit. Thankfully, I was able to get out. I went over to Wagon Wheel, woke them up, said, hey, the fire just got to our place. You guys need to start thinking about what you're doing. And it, again, older couple, they're like, we're not leaving. They're like, set the horses out in the pasture. See what happens. And so, thankfully, they're surrounded by vineyards, so they're pretty safe. I think I had 2 training horses there at the time, and then there was another gal with 2 horses. And so, they wanted me to take their horses. Totally fine, whatever. Drove down to Petaluma. I think it was fine driving down. So, driving down, you can see the fire the whole way down to Petaluma. Get to Petaluma, coming up over to Jody's, and you can see the fire over Jody's place. And I was like, crap, do we gotta, like, evacuate Jody's? So I pick up my trailer, go up to Santa Rosa, go grab those horses. I have a 4-horse trailer, picked up 4 horses, took them down to Petaluma. My clients came and picked up their 2, and then the other 2 stayed with me.
And this is all still middle of the night?
Yeah, so we got woke up at like 1 o'clock in the morning, I think, maybe by the time I got the horses. So I want to say when I had finally picked up the horses and was going back down to Jody's, it took forever because everyone was just trying to get the heck out of there. So maybe it was like 3, 4 o'clock in the morning by the time I got back to Jody's. Maybe later, I don't know.
Is this your first time ever evacuating like this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And no plan.
No.
Nothing.
So the thing was, so we get to Jody's, the clients pick up the 2 horses, I'm in charge of the other 2 because the owner stayed up. So as soon as I get back, I don't know, the police department or whoever comes by says, you guys need to evacuate.
So you evacuated to one property and then you have to evacuate them now from that property.
So now we have to evacuate 74 horses.
I have chills on my entire body.
Yeah, so it was a wild day. And like, when we ran from our house, all I took were my flip-flops.
I was gonna ask if in that moment, did you take like passports, blah, blah, blah. Did you have like animals at your house?
Yeah, so we had 4 dogs and 2 cats.
That's a few animals. And then you just shoved them in the car.
Yep. So it was me, my boyfriend at the time, and then my mom. So we got all the animals and I thankfully, like, I always had a day bag that I would take to work and whatever. So, like, I didn't think our house was going to take in.
No one thinks your house is going to burn down. Yeah.
So I didn't, like, really think too much about it. But, like, I went in my safe. I grabbed my cash. I grabbed my day bag. And then we left. So I was in my flip-flops. Wasn't even wearing a bra. I was in my yoga pants and just, like, this baggy t-shirt. And I remember, like, loading horses at Jody's. Some lady came up to me, and she's like, you shouldn't be loading your flip-flops.
Now is not the time to tell you what to do, lady. That is unsolicited advice in that moment.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, she was, like, yelling at me. And I was like, I don't want to hear it. My house isn't there anymore. I don't have shoes.
Yeah, I don't even own a pair of shoes anymore. Give me yours if you need to. Oh, man.
Yeah. Were you able? I'll never forget that, though.
Were you able to laugh her off, or was it one of those moments?
Well, I was definitely mad at in the moment, but, like, you know, it's whatever.
Can't take it on. That's that lady's own fears.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, it was fine. We got everything evacuated. Everything ended up working out, but, man, it was a day.
Yeah. Do you feel like you are more prepared because of going through that experience?
Yeah. So after that, I actually offered trailer loading clinics just because, like, so many people struggle loading their horses. And I'm like, your horse needs to load day or night. Doesn't matter.
High energy, low energy. Yeah.
They need to get in the dang trailer. So I did some of those for a little bit. People seemed to really enjoy it and whatever, and then I just stopped. But like, that was, like, a huge thing for me is, like, I couldn't believe how many people struggled with trailer loading and stuff like that. Just, like, simple things. I mean, to me, it's simple, you know?
To you, it's simple because you've been doing it. Yeah, I think the hard part for me to grasp is people that don't have an evacuation plan by now.
Yeah.
And people that have multiple animals but no trailer themselves.
Yes.
I think that's kind of hard for me to grasp because no matter where you are, yes, your property might be a little bit more safe because you have less trees or this or that, but, like, that community went up.
Yep.
And it's not super foresty there. No. Like, it just happened.
Yeah. No, it happened. It happened fast. And, like, there was no one. Like, if your neighbor didn't wake you up, you did not wake up.
Right.
Like, I remember when me and my boyfriend at the time went back to go see if the house was there. There's this couple walking by, and we start talking to them, and they were, like, lived down the street, and they said a transformer blew outside their window. That's the only reason they woke up.
Holy shit.
And they had to run from the fire. They couldn't get their car.
Oh, my God. I have chills on my body again.
It was terrible.
It's terrifying.
It gives you a new appreciation. I'll tell you that. Yeah. And it's just, like, things don't matter.
Things do not matter. Animals matter. Mm-hmm. Cash matters. The fact that you knew to grab your cash is pretty cool.
Hey, I was shocked. I just had, like, this crappy little Walmart safe. Everything inside was fine.
Oh, shit. So you didn't even have to grab your cash.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, it was crazy. Like, we went back.
Oh, what was that feeling like going back?
Oh, it was hard. Because, like, we didn't recognize it because it was all leveled, you know? So we all went back, and, like, the only way we found it was the street signs, you know? So we found our house, and
How long after did they allow people to start going back?
I don't think we were technically allowed in there. I know we went back that day, and I don't know if it was that day or maybe the next day that we went back and found the safes.
But everything else, it was just leveled.
Yeah, yeah. All around. Every so often, there'd be a house there that is like, why is that house there?
You right, know? Yeah.
Otherwise, like, everything was gone. And it was crazy to see, like, what the fire did to everything. Like, it was very interesting to see. And I'll never forget, I took a picture, and it's the spookiest freaking picture, because, like, it's close to Halloween. And so someone had a pumpkin sitting on a bench, and it survived the fire. And so it's just everything's just freaking toast around it. And there's this pumpkin sitting on a bench with like the little face carved out of it.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. Not only the night and everything and all the adrenaline and the animals and getting everybody out. But then aside from that, going back and just being like, it's all gone.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you're saying, recognizing that that's just stuff. Yeah. Like you have yourself, you have your boyfriend, you have your animals. Like.
Yeah. Yeah, none everyone of that was okay, so it's all good. But, you know, it's very interesting now, like, just thinking how things are things, and it really doesn't matter, like, as long as... And it also gives, like I said, it gives you a new perspective to, like, realize that, you know, be grateful for things. And, like, yeah, we have a house, but, like, it's not necessary.
Yeah, more space than most of us need. Yeah. And so, with that, because you didn't have a house to go to, where did you go?
We ended up at my aunt's for a while. So, it was my aunt, my cousin, my mom, me, and my boyfriend all living in this little house. And our four dogs, their dog, two cats of ours, and I think they had a cat at the time.
That probably didn't last long.
No. One of my friends had mentioned getting a travel trailer. So I went and looked at these travel trailers, and my friend said, hey, you know, you can park it at our place. I was like, cool, that sounds good, you know. So we went, looked at the travel trailers, found one,
which a lot of other people were probably doing at that time.
Mm-hmm. So we got the travel trailer, and then once I got the travel trailer, my friend was like, hey, yeah, well, you need to pay like $700 a month to park it out here. And I was like, I don't have anything and no money. I can't do that. So after all that happened, I was talking to Jody about it, I guess. And I had already bought the trailer, so I was like, what the heck am I going to do with it?
Just need to find land.
Yeah, so Jody said, bring it here. Just, like, live here as long as you want. So I moved out there.
And so you were living on the property you were working.
Yeah.
And what was that like?
It was nice. I enjoyed it. Most people respected my space.
At the time, because now I feel like people do have evacuation plans of, like, friends that maybe live in Nicasio or live in Oakland or, you know, somewhere to go. At that time, when you got the news that you needed to evacuate that many horses, like, how do you know where to go?
Well, it's very interesting because we had people coming from all over, like, knew there was a ton of horses there. So people were just coming and taking horses, and so we lost some of them. Not lost them, but didn't know where they went for a little bit. We eventually like found out where they were, but like some went to the fairgrounds, some of them went to a couple of our clients' places, some of them went to the Red Barns.
They were scattered everywhere.
It was just crazy. I mean, it was so nice that like there are people coming from all over just to help us get the heck out of there, you know, because they knew there were so many animals out there.
So I know you do some body work, so when did that kind of come into your
trajectory? That was actually right after the fire. So fire was October 2017. Let's see, January 2018. So like literally on, I think it was New Year's Eve or New Year's, my gelding got stuck in the fence and tore a suspensory. And then the next week, my mare slipped in the mud and tore two muscles in her hind end. Kathy Ruta, I had actually met her a couple years prior because my dog had gotten an impaction. And I had taken him to the vet and he was on this medication and it wasn't working. And he couldn't eat, couldn't go to the bathroom. And I'd been a few days and my friend was just like, hey, you know, bring him out to Kathy Ruta and see if she can do something. So she does AcuScope and MyoPulse.
For small animals?
Dogs and horses.
Dogs and horses, okay.
Yes. So she had told me to come over with them and just try it. So we went over. She went around for like 20 minutes, I felt like. And like after that, like as soon as he went outside, he kind of walked around a little bit and then he pooped.
Woo! All right.
I was so excited about that because he hadn't in a few days. So that was my first experience with her. And so then she had come out because so after my mare slipped in the mud and she had tore the two muscles, she was so swollen that she could not walk. And the vet was starting to get concerned that she was going to founder. So she was not looking great. And so Kathy had come out to work on her and my gelding. And after, I think she came 2 days in a row. After the 2 days, the swelling had gone down enough that she started walking around. And she just, like, completely turned around, was able to start laying down, and was fine. So that happened. And then my gelding, I had talked to her a little bit further about what was going on and everything. And she lives up in Red Bluff. So we decided to send him to her for a month. And after a month, he was cool. So I think at that point, let's see. I want to say he had the month of the AcuScope and MyoPulse at maybe like month three. And so it would be the end of 4 months from the injury. We got him re-ultrasounded, and they said he was good to start riding. Maybe like a year after, I just decided to get it ultrasounded again, just to make sure everything was still looking good. And the vet that looked at it said that they couldn't even tell that there was an injury.
Oh, wow. So you made you a believer.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, after the month that she took him, it made me a believer. And so that's when I decided that I wanted to learn more and take the course. That was probably March when I sent him. He came back, I think, the end of June was when I did my course.
Okay, and what's that process look like?
So I think it's like an 80-hour course. So I went up to her place, and I actually took my horses with me because I wanted to keep them all going. So she let me haul my horses up to her place.
And did your program stop at the time or pause?
Yeah, so I paused the training, and I actually told my lesson people at the time, because I kind of needed a change from all of that. So yeah, everything went on pause while I went to take this course. I think it's like a 2-week course or something with Kathy.
And you go to take it? Okay, yes. In person.
Yep, it's an in-person course. So I did that one, and that one specifically for equine. And then the next month, I went back and did a course for canines.
And so when you were doing the certification, even though you wanted it for your personal horses, did you see this as something you were going to offer to others?
I thought about it. But I mean, obviously, like, I feel like you don't feel super confident after, you know, a couple weeks. So I worked on my own horses. I worked on horses at our barn and my friend's horses and whatever. And then after that, I went and took some courses with equinology. And
can you explain that for people that don't know?
Equinology has a lot of different courses, which are amazing.
And they're local to Sonoma County.
Yes, in Pengrove. And their massage course. Well, I mean, there's so many different ones. There's massage, nutrition. Yes.
And this was just to broaden your knowledge.
Yeah, because I want to be able to help the animals to the best of my ability. So, you know, I just feel like I should constantly be learning. So I went and took the basic massage course through Equinology. And then after that, I took a couple myofascial release classes.
And what was your experience like taking those courses? Did you enjoy it?
Oh, yeah, I loved it. Yeah.
What did you love about it?
They're just like super knowledgeable people. And so it was really, I found the courses to be super interesting, and it was fun because it's so hands-on.
So you finished those courses, and you started doing friends' horses and your horses, and then what?
Yeah. So I never actually, like, did the externship part of the equinology courses. I just took the courses, so I'm not technically, like, certified for any of that. But that wasn't really my goal going into those anyways. I just wanted to learn more. And so it was all, like, super interesting. And then from there, again, I was doing the training, the lessons, the AcuScope on the side. And then a few years ago, I did another course with the AcuScope up in Oregon. Just went to go see what that was about and felt like I learned a little bit, but it still didn't feel like what I was looking for, you know? So somehow I got hooked up with Molly Wells, and Molly has been amazing. She is a very good instructor. It's cool because she's an instructor for ATS, Animal Therapy Systems, which is the company that owns the animal calibrated instruments. And so she's an instructor for ATS, and then on the side, she has her own courses. And so she's a very knowledgeable person, but she is such a good instructor, which is rare, you know, that you have someone who's good with people.
Will you explain what AcuScope, MyoPulse, or whichever way it goes, will you explain that a little bit for people that don't know what it is?
Yes, so AcuScope and MyoPulse, it's two different instruments. And so the AcuScope stimulates the central nervous system, and the MyoPulse stimulates the soft tissues. So they work well together because they kind of get the overall body. They use a microcurrent, and the microcurrent is similar and compatible to that at which the normal healthy cells produce. And the nice thing about it is it uses biofeedback. So you can get digital readouts of the cellular function in the body. So you can hook up wherever you might want to see how the cellular function is and get a reading.
So you can kind of see, essentially, if certain areas are actually talking to each other.
Yes, yes. Another nice thing about the biofeedback is you can't overstimulate. So the instrument monitors and it treats as much as the body needs, and then it'll just monitor.
Was it hard during the process of getting certified? Did it take a while to fully comprehend and understand and be able to read the feedback?
I mean, it's not hard once you figure it out, but definitely at first there's a lot to look at.
Well, it's a lot of numbers, right? It reads it back in numbers.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Once you figure out all the numbers on the actual instruments are, plus like the feedback that it's giving you, and also like it has an audible feedback, so you kind of tell off of that as well what's going on in the body.
And why, when you did start offering that to other people, why would people request it? Where is it more injury based?
You could use it for multiple different things. So some people use it for rehab because it is an FDA approved instrument. So the FDA approves pain management, musculoskeletal, and neuromuscular conditions. You can accelerate healing by 50% or more, depending on what's going on. So if you do have rehab, you can accelerate the healing. You can do maintenance, like if a horse is arthritic or something, just like pain management, mm-hmm. maintenance
type deal. Or working hard.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's considered non-invasive.
Yes. Good. Yes. Cool. Because the electrodes just stick on the outside of the body.
And so what was that like when people would, in the beginning, it's pretty intimidating, it sounds like, when people would call you and have you come out and do it?
It was nice starting with just like friends and stuff, you know, it made it much easier. And
have people ask you questions and you're like, I don't actually know the answer. Let me go look it up.
Yeah. And then also just like, since I did do training, like knowing so many people through that, and then also knowing other trainers.
That was in 2018. So that was quite a few years ago.
Yeah.
So what are you doing now?
So the AcuScope MyoPulse is my main primary source of income. And then I still do some lessons, just like with people that have done lessons forever.
So. And is that a Jody still?
Yeah.
And you don't feel like you're burning out, it sounds like. You're riding a good wave.
Yes. No, it's been fun. Like, especially now that I'm at a point where, you know, everything's kind of stable and I can keep going to continued ed courses and stuff. It's been a lot of fun. A lot of fun to learn new things. And also, it's been cool now, too, like, with the AcuScope and MyoPulse to work with the vets. And, like, just get to know the different vets. Get to know different conditions with the horses and everything. I've learned so much. It's fun too, just like I said, like knowing different trainers and being able to help with their horses, their client horses,
knowing when they're coming back from a show and being able to be available.
And helping like optimize performance before they go to a show, helping them post performance. There's been a couple of clients that their horses have gotten in some good wrecks, so we've been able to do some really fun things with that. I mean, fun on my end, not their end.
Right. Just to see. Well, it's fun for you because you get to see the progress.
Yes. Yes. It's so cool to see, like, what it can do.
Awesome. Well, let's go into the questions. So what is something within the community that you want to see evolve or change? And then how can you help with that if you're not already?
I feel like I would like to see, and I feel like people have already said this, but I feel like I'd like to see people be kinder to everyone. And I feel like...
to the humans.
Yes. I mean, human and horse. Let's all be kind. Because, I mean, it's hard enough just living. It's crazy to see how some people can treat other people or treat the animals, you know. And I just wish people would be a little more open and not put people down for just ridiculous things, you know.
How are you helping with that change?
I myself have tried to be way more open about things.
Well, lastly, you get to ask me one question. So is there something you'd like to ask me?
I mean, I don't know, I guess. We can talk a little bit more about like what we talked about in the beginning, how you're moving forward in your business and life.
Yeah. Before we started recording, Shannon and I kind of talked about just avenues and, you know, having to make money. And right now my main source of income is my PEMF West Coast Magna Wave business. The podcast, I spend at least 50% of my time, if not more, editing, recording, you know, putting the content out, all of that, but it doesn't make a consistent income. It, you know, I figured out how to monetize it, but haven't figured out how to kind of consistently bring in. And unfortunately, in this day and age, we do all need money. And, you know, I don't need a lot of money, but I need to be able to, you know, pay rent and eventually a mortgage, hopefully, and pay for the horse that I own and pay for the food that needs to get into my body and all these things. So that's, you know, I'm hopeful that eventually the podcast can create some sort of consistent income. And that it's kind of fun in this process, though, because I get to be creative within that. And right now, at least for now, with the monetizing, at least the income that I do get from people buying advertisement space, I get to promote awesome businesses that are most of the time local, to be able to at least support businesses of friends or colleagues or people in my community is really awesome. So just trying to be creative in ways that can support the community, but also my wallet a little bit. Because again, I work multiple hours a week doing this podcast. And so that's kind of my next goal. Yeah, I think the fun of owning a business is kind of that creative mindset of like, okay, what's next? Like, I want to give myself kudos for what I've gotten accomplished, but then kind of what's the next step? We'll see what happens, but forever growing, forever thinking, forever creating. So that's kind of it. Awesome. Well, thank you for chatting with me.
Thank you for having me.
Hello again, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode of Stable Connections, the podcast. This is your host, Shauna Burke, and if you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, don't forget to tune in every Monday morning for a new episode. Follow us on Facebook and on Instagram. It always helps to leave a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on Facebook. And if you or someone you know wants to sponsor an episode, please visit www.stableconnectionsthepodcast.com. See you next week. Stable Connections is sponsored by Change Your Lead. Change Your Lead is made up of a group of licensed clinicians and equine professionals who incorporate horses into mental health treatment and wellness offerings. They currently provide adjunct psychotherapy services to agencies in the Greater Bay Area that want to add an equine component to their existing mental health services. In addition, they facilitate workshops and mini wellness retreats for those looking to take time for themselves in the presence of horses. Please visit changeyourlead.com to learn more. Stable Connections is sponsored by The Equine Creative. The Equine Creative is a full-service graphic design company specializing in logos and branding for equestrian entrepreneurs. With illustrations that honor your heart, your horse, and your hustle. Let's outfit your business the way you'd outfit your horse. Please visit www.theequinecreative.com to learn more.